Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to everyone as we joyfully await the new year. In spite of all the turmoil going on around us, we know our Redeemer lives, and we definitely live for Him. So, let's praise Him.
Okay, Abba Father, we praise and give You honor. Guide us by the light of Your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We faithfully lift up all our loved ones that need Your salvation. Please keep pulling at the strings of their heart and do whatever it takes for their eyes to be unveiled. We also beseech Your healing power on the listeners tonight suffering from any disease, especially for our more recent request. Show mercy to those persecuted in Your name, and may tonight's program bless You as it blesses us to serve Your church. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And amen again.
Well, we sure have a boatload of news, but I know you will summarize it adequately.
Well, I'll try my best. And let us begin with how I had to send an addendum to our newsletter that went out last week concerning Israel's elections, because on Wednesday, no results, it's too close to call. Thursday, they were calling Prime Minister Netanyahu the winner, for the fifth time, by the way. But on Thursday, it was back to too close to call, and that's where we remain.
So now what happens?
Well, now the president of Israel, Rivlin, who is more of a figurehead, now takes center stage because he gets to decide who can go first to try to secure at least 61 seats for a majority of the 120 Knesset members. Netanyahu received 31 seats, and his rival Benny Gantz received 33.
So Benny should be able to go first, right?
Well, you would think that, except there are more parties that have orally agreed to join up with Bibi's right centrist party, which would make a total of 55 seats. Then the left secular party of Benny Gantz, called the Blue and White Party, well, they had a lot less. So therefore, Netanyahu would only have to gain like six more seats, but that is not an easy task since many of the remaining parties are Arab parties.
Yeah, Israel's system, you know, it's much different than ours, and it can be very toxic.
For sure. People vote for a certain party, of which there are about 10, and each party has a leader and granted so many seats in parliament according to the votes the individual parties receive on election day.
Didn't President Rivlin suggest combining the left and the right to join together?
That was suggested, where then every 6 months rulership would change, and Bibi said he would consider that if he could lead first. However, Benny said the only way he would unify with the Likud party, well, is if Netanyahu would step down as its leader.
Well, that's not happening.
Besides, if Bibi is no longer prime minister, he faces some serious corruption charges. And right now, he has immunity.
Wow, where have we heard that before?
I know, right? Netanyahu decided to roll the dice on a second election after April's election, hoping that voter turnout would improve once the stay-at-home voters understood how high the stakes were. Instead, resentment and apathy worsened the turnout, leading to improvements for Muslims and the secular left.
So this could turn out bad.
It very well could actually bring in a far leftist third party to power, even if just a part of a unity government. Either way, the once hopeful benefits of the Netanyahu-Trump union that led to the embassy move, the recognition of the Golan Heights, Bibi's promise of possible moves in the Jordan Valley, well, that could all be gone. And it's so sad because this American administration has been extremely pro-Israel.
Well, especially after Obama.
Mm-hmm. But it looks like people might be tired of Bibi, at least some of them, and his many promises that were not always followed through.
Yeah, they want to change.
Mm-hmm. This also puts the peace deal of the century on hold, still again. But remember, Netanyahu is a 33-degree Mason, and that so far has likely benefited Bibi. So we'll see who ultimately God chooses to fulfill his prophecies. That is, I read in Revelation, well, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, judgment is coming, and not just to Israel, but to the world.
This must happen for our king to come and set up his kingdom, and no man alive can change that.
The other big news in America is about our president, Donald J. Trump.
For sure. Because, in spite of his many flaws, just keeps on going and going, even though the left keep pushing and pushing toward impeachment, which has just been given more fuel with an overheard voice conversation President Trump had with the new Ukraine President Zelensky. Although not orally specific, the left is saying, according to a whistleblower, that President Trump implied that if Ukraine wanted the military aid already promised to them by Congress, and that, of course, is to help fight Russia, who, if you recall, invaded its Crimea a few years ago and is still trying to take control of eastern Ukraine. So that President Trump would like it if they investigated their past corruptions and included Joe Biden in the mix. Because as vice president, Joe landed for his son Hunter a very lucrative job over there with a gas company.
Yeah, you know, that's odd since Hunter had no energy experience.
Very. And there is also a questionable China financial deal made with Hunter as well. And what is crazy and already admitted to by Joe Biden is that he himself was about to withhold a $1 billion military loan unless Ukraine fired the prosecutor at that time who was investigating this gas company and Hunter Biden for corruption.
So Ukraine did fire the prosecutor, then they got the money.
Mm-hmm. Biden claims he did that because the Ukraine prosecutor was himself corrupt.
Yeah, what else could he say?
Anyhow, this whistleblower told the IG, who told the DNI, who should have passed it on to the House Intelligence Committee, but instead told the Justice Department, who was sitting on it. So the House wants the transcripts, but the AG won't do that because other foreign countries would assume then that any talks with the president just might go public.
And that's true. You know, presidents should be able to have private conversations.
Right. But now it's all out there, and I think Biden actually is probably done.
Well, besides, Elizabeth Warren is raising in the polls.
Mm-hmm. And she does have some baggage as well, which I'm sure will come out. But President Trump should be reelected, if only because of the economy.
Should we do some one-liners?
And that's about all the time we have for. The Washington investigation of the investigators continues and is making positive headway. But again, will any go to jail is the question.
Our southern border wall keeps going up.
And illegal immigration is going down. Mexico is being very cooperative.
Major earthquakes still happening and storms keep brewing in the Atlantic and terrible flooding again in Texas.
And Iranian-backed Hezbollah has been caught sending spies over here to decide which targets to pick for an attack.
Facebook admits its bias against pro-lifers.
And vaping, which is mostly made in China, is killing people, mostly younger ones.
Climate change protesters are gathering steam, pun intended.
And, of course, President Trump is in New York for the UN General Assembly, where he spoke today and is expected to meet not only with Ukraine president, which is going to be important, but many others, just not likely Iran's leader.
Do you think we will have war with Iran?
Not now. At least nothing major, due to the fact we have Bible prophecy that says Iran, which is called Persia in the Bible, will make their big move during the tribulation, according to Ezekiel 38.
And that, of course, won't happen till after his bride is called up.
Praise the Lord, at the last trump. One last thing, because we must move on. The National Review reported that there is an agenda behind the Catholic Church to get rid of capitalism. Huh,
no surprise there.
Anyhow, so much is happening this Teshuva season of repentance. The question is anyone paying attention?
Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message 2440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, well, last week we reviewed the seven feasts, and the Hebrew word, of course, is moed, and that means appointments. And then we moved right into the next appointment that Jesus still needs to keep, which is Rosh Hashanah.
Also called the last trump.
And we often point out that Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15:51 that at the last trump, some year, we will all be changed. This is the rapture. Just not sure which day or hour, because it is a two-day memorial.
Celebrating the creation of man.
And Rosh Hashanah is the only appointed feast that occurs on a new moon, which implies a new beginning. And you have to admit, the creation was a new beginning, a Genesis, and for sure will be a new beginning for us when the resurrection slash rapture happens. This is why it is so important to have some, at least basic knowledge of your Jewish roots, with its idiomatic expressions that were common in the first century when Jesus walked. Now, last week, and often, we give references, as stated in James 5:7, that his second coming will be in the fall harvest time, when the fruits are gathered.
And that his two comings are like the two major rains in Israel.
That's right, in the spring and in the fall.
Then you named many other common expressions associated with Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, I did that pretty quickly as we were running out of time. So this week I'd like to expand on a couple of those more interesting phrases, as Rosh Hashanah is coming this Sunday at sundown, and it goes till Tuesday at sundown, just prior to this program. So if we are not on the air, then perhaps we will have already met in the air.
Very clever.
Anyhow, the last trump is the most provocative.
And next week, we will explain the meaning of the great trump.
Of the great trump, right, for sure. Because that's coming up soon as well.
Okay, so another idiomatic expression for Rosh Hashanah is the hidden day.
Of course, because it's a new moon that is barely visible the first night, which is why it lasts for 2 days, to be sure they saw it and would then usher in the next month, and always with a festive meal, as confirmed in 1 Samuel 20. It's a new month. So, a type of new beginnings. Another Jewish custom, which, by the way, is confirmed in 2 Kings 4:23, one could only see the king or a man of God on a Sabbath or a new moon. Well, Rosh Hashanah is both a new moon and a high Sabbath. How about that?
Yeah, and Psalms 81:3 says, too, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon.
Right. So, again, the beginning of the month is determined by the visible sighting, and the shofar is blown in one long blast. Now, Numbers 10, verse 10 states that silver trumpets should also be blown at all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. However, on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah, 100 shofars were blown, so to differentiate that it was the new year.
And at the last trumpet they would celebrate.
Amen. Mm-hmm. When any new month is announced, the people commence to fellowship. After a blessing is said, greetings of peace are given to one another. A traditional greeting of peace is Shalom Aleichem.
Or peace be with you.
And the response is Aleichem Shalom.
Upon you, peace.
We would say that I remember as a child at a Catholic Mass as well, in, of course, in English, of course. You know, peace be with you and also with you. Anyway, each new moon was a time of fresh dedication to Yahweh and of blessing Him while seeking His direction for the days ahead. Okay, another name, especially for the Messianic Jews who understand it more intensely, is
the Wedding of the Messiah,
which we too, as born-again believers, are awaiting, for we are the Bride of Christ.
Amen.
And it's an important fact to see how Jesus uses wedding terminology often. You know, like it was the father that decided when the groom should go get his bride. When the Hadar, Isaiah 26, also called in English the wedding chamber, was ready to his specifications. And the bride didn't know for sure when that would be, but she did have hints from the groom's close friends if it was getting close.
Well, like we have some very big hints right now.
I think you're right. And we know Jesus' friends, too, because they wrote the word, especially Moses and Elijah, because the Torah was penned by Moses and Elijah. And it's known to be, by the way, known as Elijah is known to be the prophet over all the prophets. And indeed, they were the two who showed up at the Transfiguration.
Matthew 17:3.
Mm-hmm. Now, our scriptures tell us how it will be and what signs to look for. That's why the bride is expecting a shout that she would hear from afar as he approached her. Now, we will hear that shout of the shofar, and we'll meet him in the air.
Very soon. Maybe even next week.
Well, that would be very nice. All honeymoons had to be for a period of 7 for completion, which is why we will be in heaven for 7 years. Just so happens it's while the tribulation is happening down here. What a coincidence. So, to us, it's the wedding of the Messiah as well. Now, let me repeat. God organized detailed wedding requirements for his first chosen with particular phrases that Jesus would use to give us huge clues about how it will be with us, so we would not remain ignorant. He does not want us to be ignorant. Oh, we might know not the exact moment, but he sure wants us to be excited and be expecting. And then Paul clearly states in Romans 15 that the things written before, and of course he's referring to the Old Testament, is now for our learning today, like gathering clues to find that treasure. You know, those gold nuggets that so excite us when we discover one? They are there if you choose to dig for it. And remember Proverbs 25:2? It basically says God hides them so that we can find them. And the more difficult the treasure is to find, the more we become like Him and closer to Him. So that not only do we know Him, but He knows us too. Deeply. So it's sort of like a child when, you know, the father hides a prize and how excited the child is when they find it. And actually, the harder is the better because it brings greater satisfaction. Oh, well, I want to give you try to get one more in here. Rosh Hashanah is also referred to as the Day of Remembrance. Now, why is that? because the books are opened and we receive our rewards, our crowns, a day of remembering what we have done since we've been saved for the kingdom. And that will be the Father's delight. Fathers like to give their children gifts. And let's close with a few confirming scriptures, as in Daniel 7, 9 and 10. I'll paraphrase it. It basically says the Ancient of Days took his seat and the books, which by the way is plural, were opened. So what books are they? Well, it must be the Book of Life. And of course, the Book of Remembrance, which is actually said, so confirmed in Malachi 3, 16 through 18. So let's read that. Malachi 3, 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened, and he heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Well, let me just stop and say, what's he going to spare us from? The tribulation, of course. And then finally in verse 18, he says, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who judges God and one who does not serve him. We're going to be part of that judgment of the sheep and the goats. There's so much great things in the Word of God. All right, I have to close, and I just want to say, if you're listening out there right now, but you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, accept his free gift into your heart. Kneel down in the humbling position and repent of your sins that Christ actually paid for. He paid the debt for your sins. So accept it. And he did that by shedding his innocent blood on the cross for you. And if you just accept what he has done, then your punishment is erased. Wow. You can be a brand new debt-free, forgiven person. Amen. And in Revelation 3:20, it talks about how he stands at the door of anyone's heart and knocks, saying if you would just open that door, he would come in and dine with you. Surely you can hear him knocking right now for those of you that need salvation. But he won't crash the door down. It must be your move. And by the way, yours alone. No church, no religion can save you. It's a personal, spiritual choice just between you and your Maker, Jesus Christ. So now maybe you're out there and you're backsliding, or if you even wonder whether you are an in-name only Christian, like Matthew 7:21 talks about, you know, who only has a head knowledge of him and not a true heart conviction, no desire to be in his word, then you also, during this season of Teshuvah, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute, because if you hesitate, the enemy might steal that precious seed away. So, repent. Remember, you are a child of the Lord, and he loves you, and he doesn't want to send anyone to hell. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in every way, but especially spiritually. And that, of course, is Psalm 122, verse 6. So keep looking up. It's coming. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.